And welcome to the 308th edition of your Economic Forum entitled Money Matters. My name's Mark Cuniberti. Before we begin, please remember that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Remember, indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Investing involves risk. Depending on the types of investments, there may be varying degrees of risk, and investors should be prepared to bear loss, including total loss of principal. Remember, the views expressed today are my opinions only, and they do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge, this station, its staff, members, or underwriters. Money Matters is about money, as money does matter, and matters of money affect us all in some way or another, whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it. Money controls our economy, our country, our planet, and some way or another controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, Money Matters is about you. And so today's show is called Masking a Recovery. And boy, on and on we go, huh? Well, the Dow's been bouncing around in the somewhere in the mid-25,000s. So with COVID cases on the rise, the stock market is beginning to convulse again. What can I say? Since March of this year, when the coronavirus first made headlines, the stock market's violent ups and downs have been giving investors fits and confusing market experts. And I've got to admit, it is really hard to time or to find a direction for this market. As an advisor, it's been a tough one. But I think we've done a pretty good job at that and about reporting it here on the show and on the newscast. From a February all-time high, if you recall, it was 29,568 on the Dow. And then we had a 20% bear market correction to 18,213 in record time, about 3 weeks. It then catapulted back up the Dow within a few thousand points of the all-time high once again in the following, 2.5 months or so. Although the early March rout was almost absolute in its destruction, as that rout took down almost every stock with it, the rebound, which began somewhere around the third week of March, really only encompassed a small percentage of securities. I did pan an article and did a show on what we call sector rotation, and that has been kind of classically illustrated in this recent recovery. I really can't recall such a pronounced movement of stock sectors exhibiting rotation, going back and forth, such as what we've witnessed in just recent weeks of this recovery. The recovery began somewhere around March 23rd, and only a handful of stocks began the recovery. Those companies represented the things and services people use while sequestering in our homes due to the shutdown. Once this group had reached dot-com-like enthusiasm, in other words, once this small group of stocks just went so high, traders began their hunt into other sectors that were in any way, shape, or form related to the stay-at-home stocks or work-at-home stocks. In other words, they were buying stocks that were kind of related because I guess some people had missed, thought they had missed the boat on some of the major internet and stay-at-home video stocks. Once those stocks were also exhausted by reaching, you know, extreme lofty valuation, the buyers took on the most beaten-down sectors, kind of the worst, like cruise ships and hotels, dine-in restaurants, and the motel-hotel sectors. They had gobs of money tossed onto the gambling tables. What it reminded me of was the last bastion of hope and enthusiasm, coupled with the overabundant greed of the star-struck day trader. Remember the day trader? Well, he's back. In other words, the gambling DNA of the amateur and the hopeful trader went diving into the COVID stock dumpster, looking for fast and furious gains in the sector most obliterated by the corona event. One could say that was kind of reminding me of those that buy penny stocks looking for explosive riches in the shortest amount of time. Kind of reminded me of that. They were picking up these stocks that were just completely obliterated in the sell-off. The worst of the worst, as I kind of mentioned there. But since the stock markets, I've always said, will reflect reality eventually, with the possible resurgence of COVID, can you believe that? Reality may be finally sobering up investors once again, because every time I say that, the stock market turns and runs again. So perhaps the ships won't sail, the cruise ships and the planes, the airlines won't fly as quickly and as profitable as we thought. Indeed, many states are slowing the reopening processes, with some states outright halting it altogether. And I have to admit, it's quite disturbing to me that could we go into another shutdown? The realization that we could be in for a second wave one, that's what everybody's saying, this is only wave one, it's just a kind of a resurgence of wave one, with the wave two not expected, in the ugly math maybe showing some depressing results. With some of the stimulus programs ending soon, Paycheck Protection Plan, the bonus for the unemployment, and the new stimulus plans, far as we know, are being held up in Congress due to the political infighting. That seems to be going way too far. Investors may be waking up to the fact that this thing is indeed really, really ugly. And the multitude of problems are not going to magically disappear into a happy-go-lucky dancing-in-the-streets recovery anytime soon. In fact, a lot of analysts are saying a historical recession or depression may be materializing, even if COVID doesn't spike. And if it does, and another shutdown is required, can you imagine? Things could get even ugly, like off the charts ugly. As a result, last week more stock rotation took place, and it looks to continue once again. The latest round of rotation appears to be a repeat of the mid-March action, bidding up both the stay-at-home sectors and the defensive areas like consumer staples. Investors seem to be selling the opening up fad stocks that they bought just a few weeks ago, like the ships and planes that we spoke about, while piling back into the conduits of the internet and essential products. So they seem to go back and forth between these gambling stocks like cruise lines and airlines, and then back into the internet stocks, the video stocks, and things of that sort. With the market's stunning recovery, investors who were bleeding red from the initial sell-off rejoiced in seeing the red fade to gray, heading toward a hopeful full portfolio recovery. So those of you that got hammered in the sell-off were saying, oh, maybe it's going to come back and maybe I'll get back to even again. However, now with the threat of more COVID looking fearfully in the rearview mirror, dreading the possibility of a second correction. Not a sector rotation, mind you, of stock sectors, but an all-out, take-no-prisoners type of wipeout, similar to the one that took them by surprise in early March. If COVID infections indeed resurged to even more explosive-type numbers, the markets once again could reflect that reality by heading south again in a very big way. And we hope not. I mean, of course, then we saw a stunning recovery, like I mentioned before, 18,000 to about 26,300, somewhere in there. And then now it's been kind of bouncing between 24.5 and 25.5. So we'll see what's going to happen. We'll be following it, of course. Okay, we'll be right back with more Money Matters. Welcome back to your community radio station, or your edition of Money Matters. 308, masking the recovery. Boy, this mask thing, you know. What can I say? It's almost turned terribly political. I think I've got a little blurb that I wrote for a couple of newspapers on this mask recovery thing. So I'm going to pull that out. Because it's, a little bit off. Applicable in these days and times. I entitled this Conflicted We Fall, United We Rise, Divided We Fall, and so goes it with economies. And since the economies are made up of people, how a nation's people go, so goes our economy, right? Not in recent memory have I seen such divisiveness in our country. Obviously, the current White House resident has unarguably caused a firestorm of controversy since day one. With another election coming up, I can imagine, or maybe I can imagine, what will happen with the politically left should the incumbent get the nod for another 4 years. But that is then and not quite now, so let's keep it on, right? Not to ease up on mankind any way, shape, or form, enter the newest threat, COVID-19, also known as Corona. Not that a virus should divide a populace. Indeed, you would think it would unite us. And one could argue it did, at least for a while. The entire planet had to cope with the little bugger called Corona, and one could sense we were all in this together. Actually, because we were. But like an anxiety-plagued schizophrenic waiting for the other shoe to drop, man would not enjoy his unity for long. We are sinful by nature, don't you know, and so it was bound to happen. First, government shut down the world. I can't recall ever reading about that before. The damage was massive. Now hundreds of companies will go 4 feet up in bankruptcy. Millions are out of work. Some jobs will never come back, nor companies will ever come back. And thousands will die of starvation in the months and years to come as governments struggle for funds. And isn't that the way of it? Don't kid yourself. Some struggling governments will cut off food supplies, as some governments always do when things are tight, right? Any time during any year, we can always look at a third world country that has their people starve because some government keeps all the money to themselves or some other horrendous action. The permanent damage from the shutdown, it's hard to say what the result will be, but it will be immeasurable. And then I can say it will be there more than anyone can imagine, and believe you me, I can imagine a lot. In the midst of the economic implosion, some cop murders some black man, and then another one is murdered. And the world reacts, of course, with protests everywhere. Yes, in the midst of a viral pandemic, thousands then stand shoulder to shoulder, and of course for a good cause. But a virus like the highly contagious COVID lives for shoulder to shoulder proximity. And now cases are spiking again, and therein lies the next divisor. The next thing that will have us at each other's throats, with heads rolling in the streets, literally the statues' heads rolling in the streets, the anger is palatable. It could be argued some of those angrily tugging on the toppling ropes of these statues are actually expressing deep-rooted angers that compound with the racial outrage, perhaps economic equality as well, or economic inequality, better said.
Who's to say we know why people are so angry?
The human psyche runs deep. Whatever the reason, the nation is hurting. Economies are hurting. Businesses are hurting. People are hurting. And with the societal anger compounded with the economic damage, COVID-19 seems to be in the right place at the right time, at least for a virus. World governments now say they will not shut down again. The damage was too great. So the question is that statement an absolute? Should we have shut down in the first place if you're not willing to do it again because of the damage it caused? And another reason to argue with thy brother and sister arises. Enter the mask, no mask debate. And it arises with a vengeance. Not satisfied to limit discussions about masks or no masks to healthy exchanges, the anger between people boils over again. And it seems, at least to me,
to fall along party lines. Unfortunately, the devil is very thorough when he causes mayhem. Some insist all wear masks. To not do so means you might be inconsiderate at best or a cold-blooded murderer at worst. Insist everyone wears a mask, on the other hand, and you are barraged with the catcalls of fear-mongering at best to being the perfect volunteers for the next train to Auschwitz. I can't tell you where this is all going, but I can tell you where we've been, to hell and back in the last year or so, while some will argue longer. But if the devil does exist, he or she is playing a masterful hand. In conclusion, I'm an administrator on a large Facebook social media page. It's called Nevada City Peeps because we're in Nevada City. I have the main photo of a lock bridge in Austria. I get comments on how does a lock bridge in Austria relate to Nevada City, and some want me to change it. Considering the hate and outrage I witness daily on this Nevada City Peeps page from my brothers and sisters toward one another about the mask, no mask debate, I am considering changing the photo showing two people, nose to nose, screaming in anger at each other. It's that bad. My name is Mark Cuniberti. We'll be right back with more Money Matters. Back to your economic forum entitled Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniberti on your community radio station. Well, there have been crazier markets than the ones we have now, but more and more analysts and trading professionals are fessing up to the fact that this one is topping them all. I kind of agree. 2008-2009 and some others I've seen were pretty bad, but this one is just crazy. We had the quickest fall from an all-time new high to not only an official correction, which we deem as down 10%, but an all-out bear market designation, which we deemed down 20%, that occurred during the March turndown. Then it was followed by an historic and blistering recovery, which placed the Dow within a healthy spitting distance of an all-time high, the all-time high it saw 2 months later. Wild swings up and down, but mostly up after March 23rd, have investors and professional money managers alike looking over their shoulder for the archangel, or the devil himself, depending on how the portfolio performed that day. June 11th witnessed an 1,861-point hammering of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The next day, the Dow ricocheted up 477 points. Whoa. Professional traders love the volatility, which can bring fast profits, mainly through option trading, but that's not recommended for your average investor. Day traders, of course, have come out of the woodwork. Some shut in from the COVID-19 event, others flush with cash from stimulus and unemployment checks. Indeed, trading volume is heavy and theories abound as to what comes next. Meanwhile, those not liking the casino-like markets and are just trying to save for retirement may find the violent ups and downs not at all conducive to a full night's sleep. We've all been there. What is confusing everyone, including the heavyweight professionals like Warren Buffett, David Tepper, and other gigantic hedge fund managers, is the speed of the March fall
and the subsequent recovery we saw
after that. Few, if any, forecasted such wild and violent swings.
And the speed and veracity of the recovery in light of the ailing economy is baffling to many.
Explanations and theories as to why markets are moving so violently include investors who are eager to buy stocks at bargain prices. Fed is throwing trillions into the economic feeding trough of corporate America, and that trillions more are going directly to consumers.
I believe, as many of my peers, that much of the market's recovery is attributed to the Federal Reserve's willingness to go all in to avoid a catastrophic collapse due to the COVID shutdown.
With trillions going to support debt assets like corporate bonds, trillions more going to consumers and business owners, and even more trillions in quantitative easing, that's when the feds buy treasury and mortgage debt and other public and private debt. The amount of money being injected everywhere means some of it is bound to find its way into the stock market, and it has. That's not to say the disconnect between the market and the economy makes total sense.
The argument could be made that the Fed is doing what it always does when crisis hit:
find a problem, see a problem, and throw money at the problem by throwing money at corporate America in the hopes that fewer corporations will be vaporized in bankruptcy. Others will be able to access the debt markets in order to survive, and some of that money will trickle down to the workers. In contrast to the 08-09 crisis, however, this time more money is being shuttled into the hands of consumers and small businesses through liberalized unemployment programs and a variety of loan and what they call CARE programs. That's not to say the all clear can be given. Indeed, in light of what we've seen in the last week or so, the markets are definitely bouncing around like crazy. There are many realities that may dampen the exuberance and could be doing that now. And it may succumb to the investors that have bought into this recent market run-up and succumb to their selling if it takes place. A couple of weeks ago, an 1,800-point hammering that I mentioned, stock participants may be rethinking just how bad the economy may be coming out of the other side of the shutdown. Indeed, we may find we emerge from the COVID shutdown funk only to see a spike in new cases, which is what we're seeing. And for what people call premature reopening, some blame mass protest gatherings or lackadaisical attitude toward the virus itself. Other considerations would have to include the damage done to the economy, which will be much worse than expected, will last longer than expected, and some damage will never be undone. The business landscape may be permanently altered, which will require some sort of adaptation or rethinking, and may already have done so, on how business should be and can be conducted. This shift in business methodology, which means maybe more business workers can stay at home and still get the job done, that may incur significant transitional costs. There may be more costs to make sure that everybody can work at home efficiently, and that's going to take some time to unwind. And it's because of this resource and monetary reallocation in itself could cause a lot more economic damage. So what's coming for stay-at-home economy, work-at-home economy, and the stock market is really, really vastly up in the air. But we'll keep watching it for you.
We'll be right back after a short break. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to your edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniverti. Is inflation in our future? Milton Friedman, famous economist, once quipped, inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon in the sense that it is and can be produced only by a more rapid increase in the quantity of money than in output. That means print more money than the stuff you have, and the price of that stuff will rise. So the question we have to be asking is, has the U.S. government, the controlling body of our currency, the U.S. dollar, through its arm, the Federal Reserve, which I call the Feds, printed a lot of money lately? Through the 08 and 09 crisis, it would be safe to say, yes, the Feds printed, created about $5 trillion in the years that followed the real estate implosion. And it is said a government that prints more than it takes in is said to be in deficit spending. The Feds actually have been doing that since the U.S. inception in 1776 here and there. But it wasn't until the mid-70s where it started to accelerate significantly. Then there's the annual deficit, which is measured every year, and the national deficit, which is the ongoing running total. Every year the figure changes, and needless to say, there are small overspending years and large overspending years. If you want to see how much more they spend than they make, you can make sure you have a solid stomach and go to usdebtclock.org. The site shows spending in real time and in various modalities, and it will scare the bejeebers out of you, or it should. Last time I visited the site, which I don't like to do because it's too depressing for an economist that knows what it means, the deficit spending was ticking along at about $100,000 every 2 seconds. In other words, we were overspending about $50,000 every second. The total deficit since 1776 is over $26 trillion, and obviously is still going up. Add to that, there's something called unfunded liabilities, which is not only what we have to spend in relation to what we took in, but also includes what we promise to pay somebody or something in the future. That total dwarfs the national deficit figure and stands at a whopping $152 trillion and change, but who's counting? That said, given the Milton Friedman definition of inflation, one could argue inflation has and will continue to be baked into the proverbial economic cake. 2020 spending includes COVID-19 stimulus and rescue monies, which are estimated at $5 trillion. One only needs to look at the stock market over the last 100 years or so to see the inflation from deficit spending. Much like the price of a candy bar, the stock market is a great proxy for inflation. It's no wonder many say, hold stocks for the long term, or the market always goes up in the long run. Since it is said to mirror inflation, as long as the Feds keep deficit spending, one could easily make the argument the market will continue up. And that does it for another edition of Money Matters. Remember, discussions in this show should not be construed as investment advice. I'm an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. The views expressed are my opinions only and may not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge's station, its staff, management, or underwriters. Our website is moneymanagementradio.com, where everything is free, our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. I hold California Insurance License OL34249. My name is Mark Cuniverti. You have been listening to Show 308. Have a great day and go make some money.